So we are reading from third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 23, titled Devahuti's Lamentation, text number 45. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tasmin Vimana Utkristham. Tasmin Vimana Utkristham.
Tasmin Vimana Utkristham.
Sayamrati Karim Srita.
Sayamrati Karim Srita.
Sayamrati Karim Srita.
Sayamrati Karim Srita.
Nacha Budhyata Tam Kalam.
Nacha Budhyata Tam Kalam.
Nacha Budhyata Tam Kalam. Patyapichena sangata.
Patyapichena sangata.
Patyapichena sangata.
Patyapichena sangata.
Tasmin vimana utkristham.
Tasmin vimana utkristham.
Tasmin vimana utkristham.
Tasmin vimana utkristham.
Sayamrati karim srita. Sayamrati Karim Srita.
Sayamrati Karim Srita.
Nacha Budhyata Tam Kalam.
Nacha Budhyata Tam Kalam.
Nacha Budhyata Tam Kalam.
Nacha Budhyata Tam Kalam.
Patya Pichena Sangata.
Patya Pichena Sangata.
Patya Pichena Sangata.
Patya Pichena Sangata.
Tasmin,
tasmin,
in that
vimane,
airplane, utkristam,
excellent,
sayam,
a
bed,
ratikarim,
increasing sexual desire,
srita,
situated on,
not.
Cha,
and
abudyata. She noticed
tam,
that
kalam,
time, patya, with the husband, apichena,
most handsome,
sangata, in company. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In that aerial mansion, Devahuti, in the company of her handsome husband, situated on an excellent bed that increased sexual desires, could not realize how much time was passing. So we'll repeat the translation. In that aerial mansion,
Devahuti,
in the company of her handsome husband,
situated on an excellent bed,
that increased sexual desires,
could not realize
how much time was passing.
So
it's a very short purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sex indulgence is so enjoyable for materialistic people that when they engage in such activities, they forget how time is passing. Saint Kardama and Devahuti, in their sex indulgence, also forgot how time was passing by. Oh. ஓம் அஜ்ஞான திமிரந்தஸ்ய ஞானாஞ்சன ஷலாக்கயா சக்ஷுர் உன்மிலிதம் ஏன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குருவே. ஸ்ரீ சைத்தன்ய மனோபீஷ்டம் ஸ்தாபிதம் ஏன பூதலே ஸ்வயம் ரூப கதாமாஹி ததாதி ஸ்மிருதி. ஜய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யா ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதாரி சிவசாதி கௌர பக்த விருந்தா. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. சோ ஹியர் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் விச் இஸ் அமல புராண இஸ் டாக்கிங் அபவுட் செக்ஷுவல் டிசைர்ஸ். த பியூரஸ்ட் புராணம் இஸ் அமல புராணம் விச் டாக்ஸ் அபவுட் கிருஷ்ணா அண்ட் ஹிஸ் டிவோட்டிஸ். நவ் வை த ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் டாக்கிங் அபவுட் செக்ஷுவல் டிசைர்ஸ்? Everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam is divine. It's nothing to be considered as material or what's happening in the three modes of material nature. Because Krishna is completely transcendental. He's above the three modes of material nature. There is not even a tinge of materialism or matter in Krishna. It's completely spiritual. Krishna's name, right? Krishna's activities, his pastime, whatever he touches, whatever he talks, it's completely transcendental. There's no material thing in there. Because we are actually living in the three modes of material nature, right? Because our mind is also made up of the three modes. So we have a contaminated desire or a notion about it. But Krishna is completely transcendent. So one should understand this before we proceed further. So it's a very sensitive topic too. Let's try to address that. So today we'll discuss about the three husband and wife, or three couples, which Srimad Bhagavatam talks about. We have a discussion. And also how the desire, what Krishna is talking about, a little bit deeper insight into Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. What is desire? And how it is entering into a complex system of our material body. We'll have a look. And how to transcend that. Very quickly, we'll see how the time goes. And very quickly, we will also talk about, very quickly, about the divine disappearance of Srila Gopala Bhatta Goswami. He's one of our Acharya. Six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So it's worth discussing a little bit, or talk about him also, because today is a disappearance day. We will see how far we cover with regard to the time, because it's a big topic just got in front of me. Okay. Now, first of all, in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, text number 11, Krishna talks about sex. Right? What does he say? He said, Arjuna, I am the sex life, not contrary to the religious principles. So Krishna is a sex life, not contrary to the religious. So what is religious principles here? The Lord is saying that whatever Lord says is divine. It's not mundane, it's not cheap, right? So I am the sex life, not contrary to the religious principles. So religious principles here is dharma. So according to dharma, if one begets child, right? Not for pleasure, but for producing a child who does welfare activity to the society and the world. Because a child who is Krishna conscious means he will not be selfish. Right? He has to do welfare activity to the society and the world. So one who gets a Krishna conscious child, that is dharma. One who preaches Krishna conscious. Now, a child is born, it is a responsibility of the parents, okay? How you bring a child into the world. So it's a responsibility of the parents to make sure that the children is also Krishna conscious. Try your best, you know? Because you can't say that, yes, it's not enough at the time of conception if one's thoughts is pure. But also it's a heavy responsibility of the parents to bring the child in complete Krishna consciousness, so that in the future the child does some welfare activity to the society and the world, which is very, very important. Look at the chaos situation here. What's happening, you know? Completely chaos, material world, you know. They don't know what they're doing because they're bereft of the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. What is Krishna consciousness? We are going to do, we are going to study what it is actually, you know. It's a knowledge. It's a knowledge between body and soul. Right? Many people don't even understand what soul is, right? So Krishna consciousness is a transcendental knowledge which tells you the difference between body and soul. And Krishna himself says, one who does not know the difference between body, soul and super soul is not very intelligent. However you study materialism, you can go to university and study. But if you don't know the basic importance of the difference between body, soul and super soul, then according to Krishna, you are a fool. That's how it works. It boils down to, one can earn money, one can become a, you know, a master in science or a bachelor in chemistry or whatever it may be. But if its knowledge is meant only in the three modes of material nature, then it is a foolish job. Okay, let us see. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the three couples, right? Srimad Bhagavatam itself, which is Amala Purana. Then the three couples, or the husband and wife relationship we are going to talk is two from Canto 3 and one from Canto 6, right? The Canto 3, we have seen Devahuti and Kardama Muni, right? The relationship. And then the next one we are going to talk will be in the third canto itself. It's the relationship between Diti and Kashyapa Muni. And then in the sixth chapter, we are talking about quickly Ajamila and his Brahminical wife. Kardama Muni and Devahuti, the relationship is transcendental because Kardama Muni himself is a devotee of Krishna. One who is a devotee of Krishna, you can imagine, right? He is completely transcendental. And Devahuti is none other than the daughter of the emperor of the universe. He is not a prime minister or a minister's daughter. Right? He is the emperor of the universe. And she is a daughter. And Swayambhuva Manu has got a lifetime of 71 Divya Yuga cycles, right? We live only in Kali Yuga. That too only for less than 100 years. And Swayambhuva Manu lifetime is very, 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 very unimaginable. You cannot even imagine 71 Yuga life cycle, right? One Divya cycle consists of Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali Yuga. Times 71. Imagine, that's his lifespan. Lifespan of Swayambhuva Manu. Now Swayambhuva Manu, throughout his lifetime, he was a devotee of Krishna. We, in our 70 years, we struggle to be in Krishna conscious, right? We make so much fuss, you know, Krishna conscious and all that. But Swayambhuva Manu, throughout the lifespan, you can read his story. Throughout his lifespan, he was Krishna conscious. He does not want to, you know, come down from that level. And Swayambhuva Manu's daughter, Devahuti, she's basically a goddess. She's not a woman. And that's a relationship that's talked here. Okay? Now, that's exactly what's going on in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, Devahuti, after her parents proposed to Devahuti, actually Devahuti was also had a desire to marry Kardama Muni because she has heard the pastimes or the character of Kardama Muni from Narada Muni, right? So she has developed a desire to marry him. This is exactly what Rukmani did. Rukmani did not see Krishna. Rukmani constantly heard about Krishna. And because of that, she developed intense desire to marry the Lord. So in the same way, we can also, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam constantly, we can realize Krishna. Right? It is not that one has to see Krishna. One can also see Krishna through the ears. That is why ear is given. Right? Constantly by hearing Krishna Katha, one can see, perceive the Lord, and then continue Krishna consciousness. So Swayambhuva Manu and Kardamuni, Devahuti and Kardama Muni was married, right? as proposed by Devahuti to her father, and they married. Now, after the marriage, Devahuti, a princess, has to spend time in the hermitage, in a hut where Kardama Muni lived. She served her husband very well, and because of the service, Kardama Muni was satisfied, and she could understand, okay, my wife has a desire, right, to get a Krishna conscious children. Okay, I will fulfill her desire, okay? And with that consciousness or mentality, he approached her, right? And obviously you know the result, right? She got 9 different daughters, right? Because Kardama Muni was ordered by Lord Brahma to increase a progeny, right? To increase creation, Brahma itself ordered, because the world has to be populated. And that's why Kardama Muni has got a big responsibility, even though he's a Muni, he's a renounced person. So he married Devahuti, and then they got 9 children, whom was given to different sages. And then the Supreme Lord, Kapila Muni himself, was born between Devahuti and Kardama Muni. Imagine, look at the consciousness, right? These days you can see, children are born like how? Like cats and dogs. Because of the consciousness at the time of conception between the union of man and woman is very, very, very important. That produces the byproduct. We can know from the children we produce, right? What is a consciousness? Right? It's very clear. One need not have to say that. Consciousness is very, very important. Right? So, Kardama Muni, with that consciousness, because he has seen Lord Vishnu. He meditated for 10,000 years and seen Lord Vishnu face to face. And what can you talk about his exalted consciousness? So he had a transcendental consciousness, and because of the association between Kardama Muni and Devahuti, Kapila Muni was born because of conception, right? So this was a very clear Krishna conscious conception at the time. Okay. Now let us look at the association of Diti and Kashyapa Muni. It is said in the third canto, just before that, the initial start of the third canto. Now what's happened was Diti, she had a desire. See, looking at the co-wives of Kashyapa Muni, was had 13 wives. Okay. Now looking at the other co-wives or her own sisters, she looked at the co-wives of Kashyapa Muni. You are also a wife of Kashyapa, I am also a wife. Now, and she wanted a son. Children, you can say, sons. Because as a lady, she wanted to compete with the different sisters of her own, or co-wives of Kashyapa Muni. So with that in mentality, she was agitated by the lusty desire. And then, as she was constantly thinking, I want a child, I want to compete with my sisters, this was a consciousness. And then, she forced Kashyapa Muni for a union. So Kashyapa Muni warned her, see, this is not the time. The time is very inauspicious in the night, evening, when Lord Shiva will come with his associates, ghost. So this is not the time for conception, right? So please stop this idea. But when someone has a lusty desire, it has to be satisfied. It burns like a fire. That's how it is. Krishna explains that. We are going to see that later. Now, because of that lusty desire, she was not behaving like a lady. He was forcing him, to have a conception, union between a man and a woman. And because of that untimely, the consciousness was not very purified. And in that state, the result was 2 demons were born. They were terrorizing the whole world. Who are the 2 demons? Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. 2 demons, right? Terrorizing the whole world. So, the time of conception is very, very important. Okay? Now, while you can say that the association between Kardama Muni and Devahuti is in the transcendental mode or mode of goodness, you can say, right? Whereas, the association between Diti and Kashyapa in the mode of passion, So this is what happens. Passion, you have something in the mind, you know. See, he was not following religion, irreligious activity. See, Krishna did not say. Krishna said, you know, if you follow dharma, then that is sex life, I am there, you know. If you don't follow dharma, you act for your own whims and fancies, you know, for your own pleasure, then that is not dharma. You act, you know, based on your three modes. And hence, terrorist was born, basically. You can see now, so many terrorists. What would be the conception of the parents? One fellow last week, right? Isn't it? He took a big truck, trailer, in France. He has been planning. Is this a big Krishna conscious activity to plan? Right? Srila Prabhupada planned Krishna conscious activity for, you know, from the age of 50. Even before also, but very serious, from the age of 50 up to the age of 69. 19 years of serious planning, Srila Prabhupada. Even though he is a Paramahamsa, he was how to execute Krishna consciousness. But these guys, right, he was executing this terrorist, was executing how to plan. So he bought a big trailer and all that, you know. And then when everyone is singing national anthem in a very, you know, happy, you know, they at least have some mode of goodness, you know. When everyone is enjoying, he could not see that others are enjoying, right? Envious nature. When others are enjoying, I cannot tolerate. So he took a truck and killed about 80 people. What kind of consciousness is that? And how, imagine the conception at the time of that person's birth. No need to tell, isn't it? It's very clear. This is what happens. When you have conception in the mode of passion and ignorance, you get demons and terrorists. That's how Kali Yuga is. What can you do? The only hope is Krishna consciousness. Only hope. There is no choice. The only hope is Krishna consciousness. Alright, so this is the mode of passion. Let us see the conception in the mode of ignorance. Ajamila was a Brahminical boy. He was married. He followed all the systems properly. He's a Brahmin. Those days, right? Now, he was married to a Brahminical girl. And he was doing all the sadhana nicely, you know. He goes to the forest, gets the, you know, the stick and all for yajna, you know, doing this Gayatri, and, you know, learning Vedas. Everything was okay, right? And his wife was also a Brahminical lady. Now, his lusty desire was checked. He was not feeling lusty. Because it has to happen between husband and wife. If the wife is not acting in a lusty way, why will the husband get a lusty feeling? Isn't it? So she was a Brahminical. She was following scriptures. She was following. He was following. Everything was okay. But one day, because of the providence arrangement, right? As he was going through the woods, he saw a Sudra woman, a prostitute, embracing another Sudra. See? So immediately he looked at it. What is a man and woman? Because he is a Brahminical. His mind is clear, pure mind. Immediately he saw that activity, you know, the sense object, you know, that entered into his mind as a desire. We are going to see that in a minute, how it is entering. And because of that, it's like it's got stuck in his mind. He is constantly thinking of that union between man and woman, man and he cannot take it out of the mind. So this is a problem with the mind. The mind is a material energy, the product of material energy. It is like when you put stick into your mind, anything, thoughts of any place, person or thing, anything. It could be a person, it could be a place, it could be a thing, a computer or something. If you stick into the mind, you cannot separate it. That's how Krishna explains. We are going to see that again in the 11th canto, right? That's the nature. The mind's, Krishna is explaining how he has created the mind. The mind is not created by us. It's not created by a scientist. It's created by Krishna. It's Krishna's energy. So he is telling how I have created my mind, how I have created a mind and given for you guys. This is how it is. And the property of the mind is, if you put something, it sticks on. It's like a coal tar, you know. When you have a coal tar, you know, for laying the roads. Right? Any one of you felt coal tar? When I was young, I have seen everything, you know. In India, it's a good place to know everything. Coal tar, I used to go in the roads, you know, because the road in India, when I was young, you know, they put drums on the side of the road and they burn it, you know. This is all natural. Many things you can learn from India. But here, what you can't even see a dead body here. So everyone is thinking, I'm not going to die. I'm like this. I'm always happy with my family, you know. They are going to die because the dead body itself is covered here. Illusion. So this is a place we are living, okay? Did anyone see any dead body? No. How do you know? Then you will think you are not dying, right? India constantly, you know, you plan, you know, when me and my friends, we used to plan to go to a movie. Then suddenly we see a dead body. Oh, okay, cancel the movie. We are going to die. This was India's Vedic system. Here, everything is covered, and finished. Your life itself is covered, and you die also, you know, in the mode of ignorance. And you get an animal body. This is how it is, this place. But, here this place, if you use it for Krishna consciousness, then it's a very good place. For preaching Krishna consciousness, good place. For your enjoyment, not good. So, he was blind. This, so it's like a coal tar, you know. We used to see coal tar. I used to touch it. What is this black thing? And I used to take it in one finger and then I do like this. The two fingers are stuck. Then I do like this. Three fingers are stuck. And soon my hand is stuck. I have to go to the house and, you know, wash like this. Like I have to go like this. And, like performing a yajna. Hand is stuck. The hand is stuck. Have you tried anything? I think you should try as a practical experiment, right? Where there's a coal tar, just try with the one finger. Do like this, it'll stuck. It'll be stuck. It's better than gum, glue. Soon you get your hand stuck. You have to wash it. In the same way, the mind is like that. Material energy. You put something in the mind and try to remove that. It's very easy to stick into your mind. Correct? Any relationship, any place, anything. But try to remove it from your mind. You need Krishna to separate that. So, again, Krishna himself is saying in the 11th canto, which I'm going to discuss now. Krishna says, you have to bring me and that object. Then only it will be separated. Till you bring between me, between you and your sense of, with your mind and the sense object, if you don't bring me in between, you cannot separate that. Because I am transcendental, I can separate it. With your material mind and your intelligence, you cannot do that. You try. You put stick something into your mind. You cannot do. We are saying Ajamala, he could not do that. So that one incident, a Sudra embracing a man in a lusty way, because a lady is a prostitute, and that stuck, that lusty desire, constantly harassing him. So what did he do? He gave up his Brahminical wife, and he was living with the Sudra, with a prostitute, having sex with a prostitute. And he had as many as 10 children, you know, with a prostitute. A Brahminical wife he neglected, rejected. So this is a lusty desire. Right? Once it gets into that, forget it. You cannot separate on your own. You try. You cannot do that. You have to come to Krishna. Only with the transcendental knowledge, Krishna can remove that. Alright. So that is how it is. So what do the modern world think? The modern world think that I want free for sex. But actually you should be free from sex. Krishna conscious means freedom from sex. What do the modern world think? Youngsters, I want freeness for sex. This is a binding one. Imagine. What a stupid misconception, right? One should be free from sex, not free for sex. This is a conception. Without the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, it's going, gone. So this is a big savior. So Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada is a big savior for us. Without him, one cannot know Krishna consciousness. One will rot in the material world. It's a place to rot without Krishna consciousness. Alright. So we discuss about three couple. Right? One in the mode of goodness, one in the mode of passion, and one in the mode of ignorance. So you know the result. Desires in the mode of three natures, what will happen to you? So you can decide what you want to do. So, and then, lust. Because you're talking about lust, lusty desires, which is basically sex desire is lusty in a sense, but it depends on how you use it, right? A knife is there. Right? A doctor uses a knife to cut and take away the tumor or a cancer. But a terrorist, what does he do? A terrorist takes and sticks into the stomach or kills someone. Right? So it is not the equipment which has a problem. It is the consciousness with which you do it, right? A doctor happily cuts the stomach and is what is rewarded, is praised, and money is given to him for cutting a body. But when a terrorist cuts your body, he'll be put into the jail. So what is that? It is the nature of the consciousness in which you do the thing. So that's why Srila Prabhupada established Krishna consciousness. In what consciousness you are serving Krishna? You can serve Krishna in the mode of ignorance. Mode of passion, I guess something. Mode of goodness. Transcendental, love the Lord. Krishna is a love God. He wants to be loved. That's why his Vrindavan pastime is so sweet. You know, Krishna's pastime. Which God? Even Ramachandra had the same pastime, right? He has father and mother. But Ramachandra's pastime, when he was young, was not very much narrated like Krishna. Krishna's pastime in India, everyone knows. Ramachandra was also, you know, Lord Rama was also a child. He also grew up. But not much emphasis was given on Ramachandra. But Krishna's pastime, so sweet, you know. If I steal your computer, I am a thief. But if you steal butter, Krishna is glorified for that. This is a pastime, loving pastimes of Krishna. Okay, so lusty desires, right? Before we understand what is lust and love, Chaitanya Charitamrita gives a definition of love and lust. Love and lust. Sri Krishna Dasa Kaviraja Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says the difference between love and lust. What is love? Krishnendriya Preeti is love. What is lust? Atmendriya Preeti is lust. If you use all your senses for loving Krishna, for doing devotional service to Krishna, that should be the aim. To only do devotional service to Krishna, then that is love. If you do anything for you, for your my pleasure, for me, I am the center of the universe. Everything is circling on me. The whole world is working for my pleasure. If you have that consciousness, then that is known as lust. You are not the center of the universe. Krishna is the center of the universe. If someone thinks they are the center of the universe, you go down. A truck will hit you, or someone will put a knife on you or something. This is what is happening. If you are the center of the universe. If Krishna is the center of the universe, then, yes, you will be glorified for that. Because you are in union with the Supreme Lord. You are serving the Lord. Right? So, love and lust. Definition is there. Now, Krishna explains this lust in the third canto, in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Right? What does the Lord say? Arjuna is asking the question, Krishna, why sometimes you get a thought or a desire that is impelling us to do something against our own desire? Something is forcing us to do, right? We want to be good. But the terrorist, look at the terrorist activity. He may be good because the three modes are constantly harassing us. We think that it is our mind. We know everything. Easy. No. Lord is explaining, your mind is a matter. In that I put the three modes. Srimad Bhagavatam says, manifesting within the mind, the three modes of material nature induce a living entity to get attracted to the created material bodies and sense object. That is the nature of the three modes. Krishna has put the three modes in everyone's mind. So if you want to be Krishna conscious, clear the three modes from your mind. Krishna's Bhagavatam says, manifesting within the mind, the three modes will induce you to get attached to the material bodies. You are attached to the opposite sex bodies made up of matter. That is a three mode. That's what it will do. So if you don't want to be attached, remove the three mode And what is the way to remove the three mode? The only word is chant Krishna's name. There's no other way. Krishna's name only will remove the three modes. Otherwise, the three modes will come and waver you. Sometimes you are in the mode of goodness. Sometimes you know in the mode of passion. Oh, I don't like that. Sometimes in the mode of ignorance. I don't want to chant. Sometimes you want to chant nicely. Sometimes you don't like devotion service. It is not you. It is the three modes harassing you. So what's the solution? Transcend the three modes. So Arjuna is asking a question. Krishna, what is that which is compelling me to do something which I don't even like to do? What's the reason for that? So Krishna is kindly explaining that, Arjuna, it is a lust which is born of the three modes of material nature, which is practically born out of the mode of passion. It is that which is creating problem. So what is immediately we should understand? What do Krishna say in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita about passion? So the Lord is saying, passion means unlimited desire. Unlimited desire, mode of passion. So what happens? Because of the unlimited desire, the mind is covered. So what? If you have unlimited desire, if the mind is covered, so what? Question. So what? The answer is, because your mind is covered, you cannot realize the soul. See, what's happened is, the soul is there. The only exit point for the soul is through the mind. The soul is the Satchitananda particle of the Lord. What is Satchitananda? It is eternal. It will not die. Chit. It's full of knowledge. Not like the body. Your own body, if you want to know, you have to go to a doctor. You cannot know your body. That is ignorance. But the soul is Satchit Ananda. It's completely eternal. It cannot, Krishna explains in second chapter, it cannot be killed. It cannot be moistened. It cannot be cut into pieces. It's everlasting, primeval. It's been living constantly. You cannot do anything. Your gun, your terrorist gun can kill only the body, not the soul. It's my fragmental part. And everyone in this room, they are spirit souls. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanat. You are my fragmental part. But due to the conditioned nature, you are suffering. Your own senses and mind is harassing you because of the three modes, because of your attachment to the material energy. The living entity is suffering because of the attachment to the material energy in the form of his own body. When someone is attached to the spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, there is no suffering for him. Someone acts on the soul, what's the suffering? All suffering are coming because a person acts on the gross body and subtle body. What is gross body? Gross body, Krishna explains, right, in 7th chapter, Bhumi apo nalo vayu, kam mano buddhi evacha, hankara itiyam binna prakriti astada. So the gross body consists of gross material elements. Krishna's energy, which is made up of earth, water, fire and ether. That is what this body is. These components are existing in the material world outside of the body, and that is also forming body and inside the body also. So it's universal matter. It's explaining. And Brahma takes all the components and makes a body. What's the big deal about this body? And mind, intelligence, false ego is made up of subtle components. Mind itself is matter. That is not you only. If you identify with the mind, and if you put all the rubbish in the mind, Krishna is not responsible for that. So you have to clear Cheto Darpana Marja. Only by chanting Krishna's name can the mind be cleared. Right? So the soul, Satchitananda Vigraha and Ananda, the soul itself is happy. Through the body, one has to eat, one has to sleep, one has to fulfill the desire to be happy. But the soul naturally is happy. You don't want to do anything. A person, a Krishna conscious or a transcendental person, he has to go and sit down in a place for half an hour. He gets transcendental happiness. He need not have to smoke. He need not have to gamble. He need not have to have sex. He need not have to smoke or drink alcohol. It is all the requirement of the body through the senses. Very flickering happiness is given. Right? A Krishna consciousness, constant, unlimited happiness. It is not that only when you drink coffee you are happy. Only when you smoke cigarette for 1 minute you are happy. No. Constant supply. It's already, soul itself is happy. Satchit Ananda. Krishna is explaining. Satchit Ananda. But what happens? Due to our desire, we are covered, wrapped up in a parcel as gross body and subtle body. And we are suffering. And what happens? The soul's only exit point to come out outside this material world is through the mind. And if the mind is full of desires, how can you realize the soul? And the mode of passion is full of desires. Got the point? The only exit point for the soul is to come out through the mind. Because the soul, Satchitananda Vigraha, right? The soul's designation in the material world is mind. Because the soul is sleeping. You did not awake the soul. The soul will awake only in Krishna consciousness. So the soul is sleeping and it's giving its radiance through the mind. So the mind is full of desires. So what do you expect to act? One will act in the material nature. So the soul designation in the material world is a mind. So the soul is not there. Even though we are spirit soul, we call ourselves, the soul is inactive because you have not woken up the soul. The soul's consciousness, the soul's symptom, which is consciousness, is prevailing. And it's coming out through the mind. And the mind is full of desires. I want to buy a house. I want to have family. I want this. I want car. I want big bungalow. I want job after job. I want 80k job. I want 100k job. I have 4 houses. I want 5th house. I want investment property. My son should be there. He should become a lawyer. It's all will happen. When the son is born, 3 modes of material nature already know what he has to become. Right? It's already predetermined. Whether you are an agent of the 3 modes, right? It will come. With a little bit of endeavor, it will come. But bhakti is external. Bhakti will not come to you in this birth. You have to take up bhakti. Right? Prabhupada, he did not do a small job favor for us. One can claim, one can even be born in a Brahminical family. But bhakti, you can't assume that bhakti is going to come. Bhakti is external. You have to take it like a money. In the material world, money is external. No one is going to give you money. You have to work for it. So in the same way, bhakti is external. You have to work for it. You can't just come and sit down and say, I am a big devotee. No, work for it. That's why Krishna has given intelligence for every human being. Work for bhakti and get it. It's in abundance with Krishna. He's freely distributing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Go and grab it by the process of surrendering to the Guru. Without surrendering to the Guru, you can imagine in a dream, mental concoction, to keep on dreaming, like a movie. It's not going to happen. One fine day you're not going to get. Do the process. Surrender to the Guru. And he will in the form, and he will give you. And then bhakti is there. You take the bhakti and practice it. It's not enough if you just read also. Come here and read. You have to practice it. Then only you realize. Then only the mind will be controlled. It's a big procedure which Srila Prabhupada has given us. So, it is impelled by the lusty desire that's born out of the mode of passion. Krishna is explaining. So, why the lusty desire is going into? So, let us not talk about lusty. Any desire doesn't matter. Desire we'll talk about. Why the desire is entering into our system. Now, this is explained in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma had 4 sons. Brahma's sons is not born of seminal discharge through the mother. Brahma's sons were born out of mind. Can anyone produce a child through the mind? No. We have got only gross body. We can produce child through the gross body. With a mental body, can you produce? Brahma can produce. This is the nature of, very advanced devotees. With the body, you can do all rubbish, okay? But Brahma can produce a child through the subtle body. Try, any one of you try that. If you do that, then you are very powerful. Okay? Now, four sons are born, Brahma's four sons, okay? Now, they're very, very intelligent, okay? Now, they asked a question to Brahma. Brahma, father, they said, what? They are more intelligent than Brahma. They asked him a question. See, you have created this body with the senses, mind, intelligence and all that, right? Do you realize one thing? What's happening is, a living entity, a poor living entity, say for example, he does not know Krishna consciousness. He goes, he looks at a poster, he sees a movie, and that sense object is entering into his mind, and he has a desire to see the movie. And so, likewise, someone sees an Apple computer, they want to buy the computer, so the desire, sense object is entering into the mind, and it's lodged into the mind as a desire. Because a desire is there, he wants to fulfill the desire. That's why Krishna has given this body, right? You want to fulfill your material desire, you fulfill, you do whatever nonsense you want. But if you want Krishna conscious, I'll give you spiritual desires. Always you can be happy serving. So the Lord has given that. Okay? So the material desire all goes and lodged into the mind as whatever the computer or something. So the mind will be pushing. Go, go, get the computer. Go, go, get the computer. And once you get the computer, the same mind will say, why did you buy? You are a fool. There is a computer available for $100. You pay $200. You are a fool. You think that my mind is, once upon a time, it's telling, I want computer. Then after you bought a computer, do you know that your friend bought a computer $200 less? Then you lament. This is a state of the mind. One minute it will raise you up, another minute push you down. That is in mind. One has to transcend the mind. Krishna says, because the mind is a problem. You are not the problem. You are a soul. Why you are a soul? You are a person living in the body. You are not the body. You have a house. You live in the house. You are not the house. You have a car. You drive the car. So this is a body. You drive the body. You are not the body. Krishna very nicely explains. You are a person living. So the difference between dead body and the live body is, in the dead body you are living, but you are assuming that you are the body. But in the live body, but in the dead body the soul is left. So the soul is important. You are the person living in the body. You are not the body. Because if you are the body, then why the body is constantly changing? Childhood to boyhood, boyhood to youth, youth to adolescent, adolescent to old age. If you are the body, why the body is constantly changing? But there is no change to the soul. So Krishna says, you are the soul living in the body. Don't think that you are the body. The body is constantly changing. Right? The body which I have come at 7:30, I have changed now. I am not the same body when I go home. I came with one body. I am going with another body. It's constantly changing. At a macro level, my eyes is not changing. My nose is not changing. My tongue is not changing. But in the micro level, every minute it's changing. So, Brahma has asked a question. So, you're creating. So, you, what kind of creator are you? Because the sense objects are going and lodging into the mind as desires. And there is a mutual relationship between the mind and the sense object. In that way, there's a strong relationship. And people who want liberation, how can they get out of this desire? You are cheating the people, you know. You are basically, they cannot get liberation. What is you do? So Brahma was astonished with this question. Yes, desire is going into the mind. And it is sticking on to the mind. And the mind is constantly want to fulfill the desire. Then how can the people get liberation? So he himself was confused. I was asked to do by Lord Vishnu. My Lord. So let me meditate on him. So Lord Brahma meditated on him. And then what happened? Lord Vishnu, Krishna came as Swan Avatar and answered, you know, he said, yes, that is how I have created. I have created the mind and the sense object because that's what you wanted. You want to enjoy the material energy. So there should be a means for you to enjoy. So that is how I created sense object and all that. But if you are very serious about Krishna conscious or to get out of the material nature, to get liberation, then you have to bring me between the sense and the sense object. For example, if someone wants to see the movie, it is stuck on in the mind. You cannot separate because, as I said, it's like a glue tack, right? Or it's like a coal tar. You cannot separate. So what you do, between the eyes and your mind, you bring Krishna. See the beautiful form of Shri Shri Gauranitai, Shri Shri Radha Ballabha and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Not for one second. Constantly you should see. And then that will go away. Higher taste. Krishna explains that. Param drishtva nivartate. Only by higher taste you can release the lower taste. Without higher taste you cannot do anything. Krishna conscious is spiritual energy. The spiritual energy is a lot superior energy. The material energy is a lot inferior energy. But unfortunately we are attracted to the lot's inferior energy, which is made up of matter. The whole world is made up of matter, including our body. But we are attached. That is our desire. Right? Why that is happening? So now we know why the desire are going, right? Now why this is happening? Kapila Muni is explaining the third canto. What happens after this body is created, right? The Paramatma, the Supreme Lord, present as Paramatma in everyone's heart, he activates all the 11 senses, hand, eyes and all that. Once, when the 11 senses are activated, the living entity identifies the body as his own, instead of thinking as a soul, because of the lack of knowledge, ignorance. He thinks that he is a body, and what does he do? He chooses a wrong field of activity. Instead of becoming Krishna conscious and doing Krishna related or devotion service, he goes towards matter and enjoys with his family members, family, friends, society. He chooses a wrong field of activity. So what happens? So the material energy binds him and takes him as a captive or a prisoner. This is what the material energy does. Right? It takes us as a captive or a prisoner. Because you have chosen a wrong field of activity. Your own action. So, impelled by the reaction of one's own action, a living entity within the three modes is bound by the material nature as a prisoner. And what happens? Because he's bound by the material energy, he takes various birth in various species of life. Sometimes high, sometimes middle, sometimes low. Sometimes he's born as a demigod. Sometimes demigod means mode of goodness. Sometimes he's born as a human being in the mode of passion, like us. Sometimes he's born as an animal, cats and dogs. So he's constantly, the material energy is constantly giving bodies. Sometimes demigod body, sometimes human body. And if you don't rectify the human body, so sometimes ignorance body. A body of an animal. And why this is happening? Everything is explained in Bhagavad Gita. This is because at the time of death, what your consciousness is. If throughout your life, you are materialist, you don't care about Krishna conscious. At the end of the lifetime, if you got a consciousness in the mode of ignorance, you get an animal body, you become a dog. And what is the use of the human form if you are not taking up Krishna conscious? You act like a human animal and you get a dog body. So at the time of death, when the soul is leaving the body, this is what Krishna has ordained. At the time, doesn't matter what you do. At the time of death, you know, it's very, very important what you do. Just when the soul is leaving the body, whatever you think, yam yam vapis maran bhavam tam tam ante kale. Whatever you think at the time of the soul leaving the body, that consciousness, if it is in the mode of ignorance, you get an animal body. If you are in the mode of passion, you get a human body. Like in the previous birth, I was in the mode of passion, so I got this human body. Now, I should not do the same mistake. I have to transcend. Now, if you are in the mode of goodness, you go to the higher planetary system, where there are sages and you can do it. Or, if you are really, you know, very good and completely Krishna conscious, you go back to Krishna Loka. But for that, you have to work for it. That is why Krishna has given this body and the mind. It's not for, you know, wasting your time and doing some mundane activities. You can do, but side by side, Krishna conscious, you have to build it up. So it's very important what consciousness you die at the time of death. And that monitors, that determines what activity you are doing throughout your life. It is not that one fine day, just 1 hour before the death, you are going to think of Krishna. Forget it. Even while chanting, we know, If someone is very, very good, while chanting, are you thinking of Krishna? Are we thinking of Krishna? You can ask yourself. How at the time of death, it is like bite 1,000 scorpion bites. Because the soul and the body is forcefully taken away. Now the soul and body is together. We are happy. It will be forcefully taken. Imagine, the last thing we want to do is our own body. If someone says, okay, take my money, take my car, everything. But your body, which is very dear to you, it will be ripped out. That is the nature of material. The capital punishment, finally the material energy is giving you its death. It says, I am going to give you death. You want to come with me? Come. So which foolish people will not take up Krishna consciousness? Capital punishment, okay? I've given you this, I've given you family, I've given you wife, children, car, bungalow, everything I've given, computer, Apple computer. But finally, you know what I'll give? I'll give you death to you, capital punishment. Finally, what will you do? No, it doesn't matter. Death after 5 years, 10 years. Now I want something better. Okay, fine. Good luck to you. And it'll come back. That's how it does. Material energy. Alright, just quickly we'll see. So therefore, what are we? We are a combination of a body and soul. We are known as Jiva. We cannot say we are completely pure souls, right? We are souls. But at this stage, due to our previous contamination, we have taken number of bodies, millions of bodies. So we cannot say that we are pure soul, we are only Krishna conscious, we're always thinking. No. The scriptures say that we are Jiva. We don't even talk that we are spirit souls. We are Jiva. What is Jiva? Jiva is a combination of body and soul. We are a combination of matter and spirit. And the soul is coming out through the mind. So we have to purify our consciousness or desires. Until and unless all the desires are purified, we have to rotate. Brahmanda Brahmite Kon Bhagyavan Jiva. We have to create. That is how it is, you know. Brahmanda, if we have to keep on. So the desire has to be. So the time of death, the thought should be Krishna conscious. For that, you have to practice. The other thing what I was thinking is, of course, see, the material energy has taken us as a prisoner, right? We don't know what is freedom. Say, for example, you go to a prisoner who's serving like 25 years life imprisonment. Someone is serving, right? Life imprisonment. You go and ask him, do you know what is freedom? Do you want to be free? He said, no. Who is going to give me food? I don't have shelter. I don't have clothes. I prefer the prison. We are like that. Because we are conditioned, right? We don't want to go out of the material energy. Oh, we are very comfortable with our house. Our family, our husband is taking care of us nicely. My wife is giving me nice food. Right? We don't want Krishna consciousness. It's too much for us. Right? What do the prisoner know about freedom? But if you take the prisoner one day, take him to Geelong and show him the park, then he will say, do you know what is freedom? You can do whatever you want, free. He will say, really? No one will hit me? Material energy will not touch me? Yeah, it will not touch you. You are free. You can do. Happy all the time. Really? Now I want to become free, he will say. In the same way, you know what is to be free? To be free means completely free from the material energy. That is the real position of the soul. Satchit Ananda. Completely happiness. There is only happiness. Can us imagine? For us, what is happiness? You have a headache. You beg your doctor to write a prescription. He will give you Panadol or something. You take it and the headache is gone. You are happy. This is our happiness, right? Whatever miseries are going away, that is happiness for us. I have come newly to Melbourne. I'm struggling. I don't have food to eat. I want to get married. Now my wife is making nice chapati and parotta. This is happiness. In India, we are very poor. We cannot afford a car. Now I've come to Australia. I'm getting $30 per hour. I got a car. I'm telling my parents. I'm very happy. Is this freedom? Some freedom is there. Little bit of happiness. This is not real. This is not bliss. This is how the material energy cheat you. Material Krishna is kind enough. He's very, very compassionate to speak Bhagavad Gita. With the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, only we know all this. Otherwise, how do we know all this? Right? Krishna has made some time for us to talk Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, forget it. We'll be rotting, you know. We think this is only life. There's no freedom. Like a prisoner. We are serving life-term punishment with the material energy, with this body. Husband, wife, son, children. We don't know what is freedom. Freedom is beyond the material nature. You don't have birth. You don't have old age. You know how difficult is old age? Now your body is young. It will change. Material energy means constantly changing. Childhood to boyhood, boyhood to youth, youth to adolescent, adolescent to old age. Your own senses, you cannot see. You cannot talk. There won't be teeth. You cannot hear. Your own senses. You cannot walk. No one will help you. Because of your body condition, everyone don't like. Now your body is good, everyone will come to you. Oh, you're very nice. When your body is old, everyone reject you. This is material energy. Right? Go and see some old people. Then you will know this place is covering everything. You know. Don't think that you are not going to change. Your body is always going to remain like this. No. Srila Prabhupada told his disciples, don't think that this old age will not come to you. And soon we will die. This body, which is very dear to you, you have to give up this. You may not give up your pencil or pen, you know. I'm attached to Parker pen. But the body you have to give up. Imagine. So we are only an illusion. This illusion goes away by chanting Krishna's name. Illusion. Three modes of material nature. This is Lord's material energy. It creates illusion, illusory energy. The Lord's material energy has got many names. The Lord's illusory energy, the Lord's cheating energy, the Lord's deluding energy. And we are there happily, you know, like a dream. This whole life is dream. Because the mind is dreaming. The mind does not have any factual existence. The mind is matter. But the mind's influence is very powerful. Mind is a matter. It's not factual. It will die. It will go away, change the body. But its influence is very powerful. That is why we have to take mind very seriously. Yeah. I'm already getting some indication that about the time. So, okay. So we'll quickly finish off this. And finally, a couple of words. So, in short, human life means what your senses... animal life means what your senses want. Right? You can decide what kind of life we are dealing. If whatever you're doing, say for example, my eyes wants to see movie, my tongue wants to drink coffee, whatever it may be. If you are doing whatever your senses want, that's animal life. If you do whatever Krishna wants, that is human life. So we have to transcend actually. We are still in animal life. Krishna consciousness is only for humans, not for animals. If someone is animal consciousness, they cannot take up Krishna consciousness. Right? Okay. Just next couple of minutes, very quickly, we will talk about the divine appearance of Gopalabhatta Goswami. Just very, very quickly. Now, Gopalabhatta Goswami is one of the six acharyas. One of the six acharyas, right? One of the six acharyas. Very powerful one. Now, Gopalabhatta Goswami is son of Venkata Bhatta Goswami, who was born in South India. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaura himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, in the form of Radha and Krishna, when the Lord went to a tour of South India, there, in the Chaturmasya started now, right? This is the first month of Chaturmasya, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has went to Venkata Bhatta's house at this time, right? At the time, Gopalabhatta Goswami was only a child, about 8 or 9 years old. He had a wonderful fortune of seeing my Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serving him and taking his remnants, and in the constant association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instruction, later on you have to go to Vrindavan and establish this Krishna consciousness. So later on, at the age of 30, he left to Vrindavan, and he was assisting Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. With very, very elevated consciousness. He's a Goswami, what can you say, six Goswamis, right? Now, I'll just tell you one quick pastime to know how Krishna is reciprocating with Gopalabhatta Goswami. See, Gopalabhatta Goswami had 12 shaligrams. Okay, he's constantly, he was worshipping shaligram. Now, one of the shaligram was Damodar shaligram, which is round. All shaligrams are like black stones, right? Very precious black stones, spiritual. And it's round color. He was worshipping that. Once, a big merchant, a rich merchant, came to Vrindavan. And he looked at, he got blessings from Gopalabhatta Goswami. And he offered a lot of jewels, dresses, and all that, you know, opulences. And he said, please use this and worship your shaligram Shila. Then Gopalabhatta Goswami said, yeah, I'll worship. But for some of my shaligrams, I cannot even wear a dress. How can it? See, Shishi Radha Ballabha is so beautiful, right? So you put nice dresses, you know, flute, this one, you know, all that, so beautiful, you know. But shaligram also we dress. But we can't dress as much as a form of the Lord. Understand? It's rounded. How much can you dress? So Gopalabhatta Goswami had a very deep desire. Oh Lord, if I had a personal form, deity form, it'll be so nice. But anyway, I'll try to worship. That's it. He had a dream. Next day morning, when he went into the shaligram, do you know what happened? The shaligram, Damodar shaligram, turned into Radharaman deity in Vrindavan. If you go to the Radharaman deity, you know the beautiful Krishna. I tell you, this is... The Lord himself changed his form in the three bending form just to please his devotee. And such beautiful devotee. How many of you have seen Radharaman deity? Oh, one should really see. So beautiful. They'll just give darshan only for a few minutes and keep on closing and all that, you know, because they're scared the Lord will go away or something. Lord is fond of his devotee, Bhakta Vatsala. So it's beautiful deity. Really, I tell you. And we see from a distance. We have to see through a binocular and see. I tell you, this is self-manifested. The Lord wants himself to be like that, you know what I mean? We're trying to imitate and see, maybe Krishna like this. But Krishna wants like this, you know. He's a person, right? Supreme person. Like you and us, you know what? We want something. I want samosa. I want. Like that, the Lord wants something. That's a self-manifested form. Such beautiful form. So this is how it is. And he passed away at the age of 75. Gopalabhatta Goswami. Today is a disappearance day. Very, very divine disappearance day. So we'll meditate on acharyas. Acharyas is very, very important because they are in the spiritual energy. Where are we? We are in the material energy. We are still in the material. We are trying to do sadhana bhakti. That is why sometimes we like to chant, sometimes we don't like to chant. Sometimes we think of money, sometimes we want a big job, sometimes we don't want anything. Sometimes, yes, no, I will fight for my job. Sometimes, oh, no. No. Mind constantly, you know. Sometimes you take up Krishna conscious. No, I should bring money, you know. No, like that. It's constantly going. But they are fixed in the spiritual energy. And by thinking of them, by remembering them, we will advance in Krishna consciousness. Very, very important. Because they are all connected to the Lord. Very, very powerful. Like a power source. Very important. We always, you know, meditate on the acharyas. Alright. It's already, I think, over time. Sorry for that. Thank you very much. We'll stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.